secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, to give us an analysis of what's really going on in the world today. Unfortunately, the media in America is largely controlled. Six or about six major corporations which tie into the six major financial institutions. About six major media organizations control 90% of the media outlets in America. And as a result, by repetition and by clever use of psychological manipulation, they control and manipulate what the American people think, and that's why I do what I do, and that's why Joel does what he does in his weekly World Affairs Brief. So, to bring us up to date on Joel's analysis of what's really going on, Joel Skousen.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's good to be with you. After over a week of silence following Rand Paul's endorsement of Mitt Romney, constitutional conservative movement mentor Ron Paul has finally made his intention not to endorse the GOP presumed nominee. On CNN's daily broadcast, Wolf Blitzer asked Ron on Tuesday if he was ready to endorse Mitt Romney, and he said, "No, I'm not ready to do that. No way." Paused and said, "No way again." From this point on, the job of the little congressman that could and who did take on the establishment is to build the remnant of liberty to where it can make an even greater stand than it did this time around. On the other issues, however, the second-place finisher in the nomination race was conciliatory, perhaps too much. He declined to verbally endorse the lawsuit filed by some of his followers against the Republican National Committee for violating their own rules, and seeing that it was sufficient that others do it, I think he should have unequivocally stated his support for the suit. It was obvious from the violations that Ron Paul listed on air that there was more than sufficient grounds, and Ron Paul himself has legal standing, which, you know, you never want to give the courts an opportunity to dismiss a case on a technicality like no standing. He also downplayed the role of his backers preparing for a major alternate convention bash at the Tampa Fairgrounds in August, and publicly called for civility yet again from his followers. It's clear that Ron has been overly influenced by the blame the mainstream press has leveled at his followers' harsh tactics. Of course, the news never breathes a word about the illegal tactics of the establishment that engenders such outrage among his supporters. Now, I have no doubt as well that the establishment has infiltrated radicals into the movement in order to help justify these attacks on Paul's followers. We'll no doubt see more of these radicals infiltrating the movement and making a show there in Tampa. Well, the elder Paul seemed to send two messages, rally the troops for the alt-convention show, and imply that he was making no demands upon nor deals with the Romney nominating convention. It's clear that Ron is not willing to play the kind of hardball tactics that they are. He did say that he would attempt to use his large number of delegates to steer the future direction of the GOP, which stands for the whole party, the Republicans. But as we all know, the Republican National Committee cares nothing for what the grassroots think. And party platforms, no matter how strict, are never allowed to bind the candidate or party leaders. So if you don't own the RNC, you have nothing in this party. While Ron Paul both strengthened one position and softened others, Rand Paul slightly modified his endorsement of Romney, which had such a negative impact on both the movement and Rand's future leadership last week. The Paul issued a statement in National Review indicating that his views on the grounds for attacking Rand are different from those of Mitt Romney, which in my opinion doesn't help much. Here's some of his comments. I endorse Governor Romney for many reasons, not the least of which is that we simply cannot afford four more years of President Obama. Well, that would be kind of the lesser of two evils argument, Stan, which I personally have learned is a trap. They want us to always have only the choice of the lesser two evils and never a clear choice like Ron Paul. Rand Paul continued saying Obamacare, Dodd-Frank, are an out-of-control EPA and National Labor Relations Board, trillion-dollar deficits are combining to strangle our economy. Anyone who doesn't believe there's a difference between the two candidates' economic issues is simply not looking or not being honest at their assessments. Unquote. Well, my response to that is I don't really think there is that much difference between Romney and Obama on the economic issues. Romney won't rein in the Fed, neither will Obama, and Romney even thinks that Bernanke's doing a good job. Secondly, there's no political will to make deep cuts in spending, even if Romney were to propose such cuts, which he won't, and even if Romney were to get elected. The little business initiatives Romney may propose are certainly welcome, but certainly won't fix the giant debt problem, which will eventually sink this nation. Said Rand Paul. He says, where I don't know if there is as much of a difference as I would like in foreign policy. I really question, he says, he doesn't know if there's much of a difference in foreign policy. That's not very reassuring. President Obama, he says, was elected on a platform of ending wars, yet he has opposed every effort by me and others in the Senate to do just that. He opposed my resolution to the end of the Iraq war, and he refused my urgings to end the war in Afghanistan more quickly. He started another war in Libya, and this time went further into unconstitutional territory than previous presidents by not even seeking congressional approval. He then goes on and says, this is Rand Paul I'm quoting from, he says, I don't know yet if I will find Romney presidency more acceptable on foreign policy. But I do know, he said, that I must oppose the most recent statement by Mitt Romney, and this is a good start, in which he says as president could take us to war unilaterally with Iran without any approval from Congress. The Constitution clearly states that it's Congress that has the power to declare war, not the president. And even the War Powers Act, said Rand Paul, also clearly states that U.S. forces are to engage in hostilities only if three circumstances exist. One, there's a declaration of war. Two, specific statutory authorization. And three, a national emergency created by an attack upon the United States, its territories, possessions, or its armed forces. And none of those criteria have even been met, even if the War Powers Act were constitutional, which it is not. Now, that's interesting because everyone says, well, the War Powers, Act really is President carte blanche, and it doesn't at all. Your comments?
I agree. I agree with everything you're saying. And we'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here. But I wish that Rand Paul had not endorsed Trump. I think that was a terrible, terrible mistake.
Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3.
Holy is the Lord.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Joel Skousen, and Joel has been discussing the fact that Rand Paul had endorsed Romney. Now, he's not very enthusiastic about it. Ron Paul has refused to endorse Romney, which I think is very important. The lesser of two evils is still evil. But, of course, my concern is that Ron Paul is not willing to condemn the Republican establishment, which is controlled by what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, that controls both political parties and makes mockery out of the electoral process. And you can't be nice when you're dealing with people who take us into wars, who run a separate intelligence agencies, who employ assassins and kill people. And I've actually interviewed several government-paid assassins and I interviewed the man who tracked down the assassin who was paid to kill General Patton. I mean, this is the sort of way the world really works, and you can have to speak out and condemn these people, not simply go along, oh, yes, their latest candidate's a nice guy and very handsome, but go right ahead. Joel?
Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about Mitt Romney and where he's going now. He continues to covert with the full range of globalists and neocons in his quest for the presidency and to be accepted by the establishment. In contrast, you never get the feeling when Ron Paul speaks that he's trying to please anyone but the truth. As Alex Pappas of the Daily Caller wrote this week, presumptive Republican nominee Mitt Romney is holding an exclusive summer retreat this weekend that will include appearances by the most frequently mentioned potentially absent will be Mark Rubio, Senator from Florida. Special guests, according to the invitation, include Jeb Bush, Florida Governor, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, former Governor of Minnesota Tim Pawlenty, Senator Bob Portman, probably top on the list now for vice president, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan, and South Dakota Senator John Thune. The invitation for the Romney Victory funding membership retreat will take place in Park City, a very exclusive location. There will also be a media panel featuring lawyer Ben Ginsburg. He's Patton Boggs' attorney for Bush Cheney. Will include the Weekly Standard's Fred Barnes and Bill Kristol. They're both raving neocon leaders in this nation, as well as Republican operatives Mary Madeline and Karl Rove, the most unprincipled lobbyist in the Republican stable. Other speakers during the meetings include Secretary of State James Baker, a globalist, Arizona Senator John McCain, who betrayed the MIA POW investigations, including several other senators and mostly establishment people. Also, speakers from the business community will include Home Depot founder Ken Langone, who is a real globalist member of the CFR, and Hewlett Packard CEO Meg Whitman. Rubio's on book tour, a necessary prelude to any political campaign. Just look at Newt Gingrich. He put out a book every 6 months when he was trying to prepare his way to return to prominence in the Republican Party. But Rubio's exclusion from this event comes only after reports on Tuesday that Romney's campaign did not have him on a list as for the running mate. Following those reports and the shock from the Rubio supporter, Romney made a rare statement on the topic to say Rubio was being considered. Well, following the big summer retreat, Romney will attend a special event in Stamford, Connecticut at the Trump Towers featuring none other than Henry Kissinger, which should really get conspiracy tongues wagging. So, Kissinger apparently has so far held back from endorsing Romney. The New York Times says Kissinger's been on the sidelines out of concerns about Romney's aggressive statements on trade policy towards China. Kissinger, says the Times, when serving under Nixon, helped reopen relations with China and has had clients with interest there. Well, that last statement by the Times doesn't even approach the conniving evil guidance Kissinger has provided to China as he betrayed Vietnam to the enemy at the Paris peace talks and colluded with China to throw Taiwan out of the United Nations and allow China to take its place. Not only that, but to give China a seat on the all-powerful Security Council. That can only be explained in terms of globalist Hegelian tactics of putting enemies into conflict with the West with veto powers in the Security Council so that they can create more wars and conflicts. Now, these establishment concerns about Romney's critical comments about Russia and China are probably the only two areas, Stan, where Romney's foreign policy has displeased the establishment. Hence the attempt to make deeper inroads into his camp of advisors and support Romney's election, at least with appearances like this. Now, mark my words, if Romney ever becomes president, he will start placating China and playing up to Russia, just like Obama and Bush. While the rest of the arch-conservative world decries this latest soiree with Kissinger as proof that Romney is an insider, it ain't necessarily so. There's a lot of middle ground in the transition from starting out as a naive conservative politician and becoming an in-the-know corrupt insider. Most people don't make the full transition, even after associating with them or helping the establishment for many years. Too many in our camp are all too quick to jump to conclusions that a conservative has sold out or joined the other side as soon as he or she has any association with a major globalist like Kissinger. However, in my experience, the establishment employs many useful idiots, as Lenin used to call them, and naive Christians who can be easily led along by carefully crafted lies and pretensions of good global intentions. It doesn't mean that they're fully inducted members of the conspiracy of power. In fact, they have a policy of letting as few people into the inner circle who really know what's going on as possible. Most people involved with the conspiracy are going along because they have been co-opted, coerced, they have blackmail on them, or they think it's benevolent. Why take the chance on having a non-insider in the White House where he can have access to so many secret and illegal operations? Well, sometimes the powers that be fail at controlling everything and have to deal with stubborn public resistance. But what better way to deal with conservative opposition than to allow a naive conservative like Romney to talk people into what they would reject if an obvious liberal told them that? I still don't think they want Romney in the White House and will try and get Obama reelected, but Obama is getting less and less electable by the day, so they're preparing to deal with the Romney administration. But if Romney does win, he can do a lot of damage to our movement by convincing fellow conservatives to go along with compromises they will talk him into. Now, remember Ronald Reagan. There are many similarities here with what we're facing with Romney. The powers that be tried to stop Reagan from getting the nomination just like they tried to stop Romney. But Reagan won the presidency even after the nomination despite their efforts. Yet only minutes after Reagan's acceptance speech at the convention The major news network heads held a private meeting with him and threatened to destroy his bid in the media unless he took on George H.W. Bush as vice president with exclusive powers to control the transition team. They knew, and Reagan had already shown significant tendencies to compromise as governor of California, that they could get him to compromise on many issues during his presidency as long as they surrounded him with the proper advisors. As a result, Reagan got talked into giving us the first amnesty for illegal aliens. It was supposed to be the only amnesty. As you know, there's been one since, and now they're trying to give another one. And the biggest tax increase in history when he doubled the Social Security taxes. I was there in Washington as chairman of the Conservative National Committee, and I know how upset conservatives really were with his compromises, so I find it a little ironic that everyone is touting Reagan as the greatest conservative president we've ever had. Well, you know, he may have been pretty good in some regards, but he did make some major mistakes. Now, although the media gives Reagan credit for bringing down the Soviet Union, that was a carefully crafted deception, aided and abetted by the Western media, which Reagan himself was ignorant of. Communism merely went underground, and its former behind-the-scenes Communist Party leaders raided the Soviet treasury by granting themselves free loans to buy up and privatize the productive state industries. And then they turned themselves into the early oligarchs. This allowed them to play the role of the corrupt, quote, wealthy capitalists in order to make the people disgusted with free markets and keep them wedded to puppet presidents like Yeltsin and Putin, who naturally claimed to be the enemies of the oligarchs. Well, nothing could be further from the truth, especially for Vladimir Putin. Putin met with chief oligarch Boris Berezovsky 5 times at Boris's Spanish villa in the year Putin ascended to the presidency, the first time, and that according to Spanish intelligence. I suspect that part of the media's purpose in praising Reagan for the phony collapse of the Soviet Union was to keep conservatives from detecting this grandest of all modern deceptions, and it has worked like a charm. Conservatives hold to this fable of Reagan's success tenaciously, and it keeps them from seeing Russia as the growing threat that it is today. Now, one notable exception, one notable difference between the establishment handling of the Romney campaign versus what they did with Reagan is the choice of transition team handling. The vice presidency, which they used under Reagan with George W. Bush controlling the transition, rarely plays an important role in the presidency of the United States, except to gain, or in the presidential election, except to gain votes during the election. But there have been two notable exceptions to this. One was the George H.W. Bush vice presidency, where he controlled the hiring within the White House. And the second exception to the weak vice president theory has been the vice presidency of Dick Cheney. He was actually George W. Bush's handler during that presidency, and he ran the presidency from the vice president's office. That's the only thing that explains why Cheney had a staff of over 600 people attached to his office on and off the books, as opposed to the normal 20 to 25. He had people in every branch of government feeding him information about what was going on so that he could control it. Well, this week, Mitt Romney announced that former Utah governor and HEW Secretary Michael Leavitt would serve to head his transition team. Leavitt's a compromising conservative like Romney, who has an uncanny ability to get conservatives to accept socialist health programs while still thinking they're on the right side of the political spectrum. Conservatives should be rightly concerned about this health insurance executive, who after the Bush cabinet turned into a professional lobbyist, helping states implement the Obamacare state health exchanges, and who will surely have a role in implementing a Republican version of Obamacare if the Supreme Court rules Obamacare to be unconstitutional, which is likely to happen this next week. Leavitt's another naive Mormon politician trying to please the establishment and not a directly controlled entity like Vice President George H.W. Bush was. Now, perhaps it won't make a lot of difference if they can still get Leavitt to do their bidding on picking people for the new administration. But they will have to work differently with a non-insider heading the transition team. They can't just hand him a list of insiders to hire and tell him to go do it, like they did with Pappy, Bush, and Cheney. They will have to convince Leavitt on each one, which won't be hard to do if you're dealing with someone willing to please. But it does pose a few risks. ultimately, even though I make the point that go-along rhino Republicans like Romney and Leavitt are not true insiders, I don't take comfort in that fact at all. And it doesn't do us any good in the long term. I personally think naive Christian Republican office holders do the movement far more damage than Obama does. Obama builds the movement by allowing us to label what he does as evil, whereas naive Republicans weaken the movement by trying to convince us that their version of evil is okay and otherwise puts the movement to sleep. Comments?
I agree with everything you've said, Joel. I believe, of course, that this move to socialize medicine will be ultimately used to eliminate elderly people, lower the level of medical care in America, and bankrupt our nation. Go right ahead.
Well, another big story this week is Obama's declaration of amnesty by edict. All of us are disgusted with Obama's latest edict that grants amnesty to millions of illegals who came into the country at less than 16 years old. But the kicker is that it's retroactive to the last amnesty.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment at American Freedom Network.
You're listening to The Lion, 10,000 watts, KHNC, 1360 AM, Johnstown, Denver. American Legacy Firearms is saluting all the men and women of our military and veterans for the sacrifices they've made. As you get together with your family this 4th of July, remember them in your thoughts and prayers until these trying times are over. America's troops are our most dependable resource, fighting hard to defend this great country and to keep freedom throughout the world. This reminder is from American Legacy Firearms. Visit them online at AmericanLegacyFirearms.com. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and of course, Joel is simply talking about the fact that President Obama, unilaterally, without authority at all, is going to grant amnesty to certainly a large number of young people who've been in this country illegally for some period of time. Of course, 1986, why Ronald Reagan granted amnesty. And he said, there'll never be another amnesty. You can believe me. I promise you there'll never be another amnesty. And that was 1986. He said it was only 1 million people, illegals, he was giving amnesty to. It turned out to be 3 million. So Ronald Reagan lied to us on several accounts, the number of people, that it wouldn't happen again. It's happening now. But what is really so distressing is the leaders of the Republican Party are not saying, Mr. President, you don't have the authority to do this. You are acting like a dictator. You do not have the authority, and we are going to impeach you for usurping authority and for violating the pledge that Ronald Reagan gave 26 years ago. Well, the outcry from the Republicans about what Mr. Obama is doing is not very prominent. Well, right now, before we go on, Joel, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to your publication, World Affairs Brief, and get copies of your 3 books, which are among our best sellers. Go ahead.
Thank you, Stan. My World Affairs Brief is a weekly news analysis service that comes out by email every Friday. People can register for my newsletter by sign up or subscribe to it by going to worldaffairsbrief.com and then get a free sample issue by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. I'd be happy to send that out to them. On my other website, joelskousen.com, that's SKOUSEN, joelskousen.com. People can see pictures and a listing of my 3 major books that I have on the market to help people and to prepare for bad times, especially as we fight for our liberty. We need to prepare for a potential takedown by these forces that we're battling. My biggest book is The Secure Home, over 700 pages of everything from A to Z on how to design and construct a high-security residence or retreat. My bestsellers, Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, all new third edition, full-color maps, everything about three-fourths new from the previous edition. It's a major edition, probably the only thing that covers so conclusively safe areas in all areas of the United States, and there's even a section on retreats in the world, on international retreating. My last book is How to Implement a High-Security Shelter in the Home, and that's an architectural plan book on how to do a safe room within a basement. And all 3 of these books are available through Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And they're among the most popular books we carry. I think most people recognize that we're heading into difficult times. And you should think about it. Will this necessarily save us? Well, no. I think this is a spiritual battle. The most important thing you have is your relationship with the Lord. But you would be foolish not to make preparations to try to protect yourself and your family. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about Obama's amnesty by edict. When you calculate the retroactive provisions in this rewriting of the law, everyone 30 years and younger now has access to a green card that is of illegals and can become permanent aliens. That's about half of all the illegals in the nation. This is a huge bid to buy Hispanic votes. As Judge Napolitano points out, this is also patently illegal and will be challenged in the court for what that is worth, given the propensity of the court to back up government expansionary powers. It is a profound violation of the Constitution, he writes, for the president to engage in rewriting the laws, and that's what he's done here. He has rewritten federal law. Only Congress can lay down specifics, such as in order to avoid deportation, matching it to age 16 like Obama has done. Altering the law in this manner, by constructing the requirements the government will impose, the president has violated his oath to enforce the laws as they are written. His second responsibility in the Constitution is to enforce or to defend the Constitution itself, hence the employment of the word faithfully will defend the Constitution. Well, he's certainly not doing that. No surprise there. I think we're all not surprised that the Republican establishment is refusing to impeach Obama, which is what they should be doing their major reaction to this. This is an impeachable offense. But it's interesting, after the Clinton impeachment fiasco, which was sabotaged, according to David Skippers, the chief counsel on this, it was sabotaged by the Republican leadership. In other words, they continually focused only on the sexual peccadilloes of this president rather than his unconstitutional actions in many other areas during his presidency. And thus, they gave impeachment such an embarrassing black name that no one will be impeached anymore, I figure. But turning now to the international scene, let's talk about Russia as it makes its bid to slow down Syrian intervention for now. With the establishment press aflame about news that Russia was sending in warships and attack helicopters to support the Assad regime in Syria, it was more hype than reality. Despite Hillary Clinton's whining all over the airwaves about offensive weapons being sent to Syria and getting the Brits to revoke the insurance on one Russian arms vessel headed to Syria, the incoming helicopters everyone is talking about turned out to be only refurbished attack helicopters that have used to be in Syria that were sent back to Russia for refurbishing and are being returned. The warships were another matter. The two Russian warships en route to Syria are assault troop ships, not anti-aircraft frigates, as one would expect if Russia were to decide to actively threaten the U.S.-NATO no-fly zone. Now, this is significant for a couple of reasons. One, it means that Russia will not engage U.S. and NATO aircraft when the no-fly zone happens. And two, these Russian troops may be simply there as an insurance against any U.S. attack on the naval base at Tartus. If the Russians follow the pattern of letting allies fall to the U.S. as they did in Iraq and will do in Iran, they will also let Syria fall. However, they are inserting themselves more strongly in Syria, only to build up their reputation as, quote, the only ones who will stand up to the U.S. While I think they won't follow through with that threat, it will continue to raise the world's expectations that Russia is the one to look to counter U.S. continual intervention around the world. This, combined with the growing reputation of the U.S. as the bully of the world, continues to point to an eventual World War III scenario between the great superpowers, Russia and China, versus the U.S. and NATO. Well, the G20 summit was a bust this year. Things did not go well at the summit in Los Cabos, Mexico, especially for the local inhabitants, who are always inconvenienced in the extreme by world police forces taking over their city and airport and parts of the town. Anybody who experiences these globalist summit meetings in person ends up hating globalism, which is perhaps the only good thing to come out of these hugely expensive extravaganzas. Well, there's a lot of hand-wringing over the fate of the euro as increased bailouts were announced for Italy and Spain. The shocking turnaround in the election in Greece towards pro-bailout, pro-EU forces also gave a brief respite from the gloom at the summit. Two rescue funds are used to buy the debts of the troubled economies, and that's because the free market people won't put any more money into that, and if they are going to put money into sovereign debt in Italy and Spain, they want at least 7% interest.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here with Joel Skousen for the final segment of this morning's program. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the G20 summit. The most controversial aspect of the summit was the rift between Vladimir Putin and Obama. They were barely on speaking terms, and Putin displayed extreme disinterest in Obama's canned remarks about the progress of their talks. Everyone noted the hostile body language as... Putin wouldn't even look at Obama when he was speaking, turning away almost in disgust. Patrick Wintour, political editor of The Guardian, thinks that there was some hard bargaining going on with Russia over the fate of Syria. The West is adamant about pushing out Assad prior to attacking Iran to spare Israel the inevitable Iranian retaliation. Syria's huge missile batteries must be neutralized. According to The Guardian, British and Americans are willing to offer the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad safe passage and perhaps even clemency as part of the diplomatic push to convene a U.S.-sponsored conference in Geneva for political transition. The Guardian said the initiative comes after David Cameron and Barack Obama received encouragement from Russia's Vladimir Putin in separate bilateral talks at the G20. Well, that's diplomatic euphemism for Putin making a deal with the West to avoid an east-west conflict over Syria. I wouldn't hold out any hope, however, for the West keeping its word on giving Assad clemency. The U.S. has betrayed every other dictator they promised asylum to if they would give up power, especially the pro-Western dictators that the U.S. betrayed to the communists. And it appears that the CIA has already picked its favored successor to Assad, similar in background to the Iraq puppet Chalabi, prior to the Iraq War. Daniel McAdams reports that U.S. sources are talking up Abdul Basit Sieda as the new Syrian Chalabi, calling him a moderate curb from Uppsala, Sweden. As typical, most of the CIA-trained agents for change have residency in Europe during all these years and haven't lived in Syria for years. Sieda is independent, they claim, does not represent any single party or political interest in the 300-member council. Well, that's ridiculous. Every one of these people always have an agenda. There is no such thing as independence. Sieda has publicly repeated most of the positions the council has been known for. No negotiation with Assad, continue to request foreign intervention, the no-fly zone, humanitarian corridor, all the things that ultimately are meant to unseat Assad. Well, it's also interesting to take a look at how the globalists turned around the Greek election. Talk about pulling a rabbit out of the hat. I've always claimed that the powers that be won't accept any country opting out of the euro. I thought they would merely have to keep dealing with the far-left governments that Greece would continue to elect in order to pacify the anti-austerity crowd. Yes, Greece was on the verge of rebellion against the EU sanctions and bailout deal. And the people still are, by the way. But this week, the Greek white right-wing establishment came back from nowhere to win the election. And next week, a combination of the New Democracy Party, which is a phony right-wing party, and a PASOK center-left party will take up the reins of power again. Syriza, the major party on the left, was expected to win, but it didn't happen. Here's how they did it. In order to permanently institutionalize two-party rule in Greece, they changed a rule last year that said that anyone who was tops in the poll, meaning that won the election, even if by 1%, would earn a bonus reward of 50 extra seats in Congress or in the parliament. In terms of opinion polls, this means that anything within 3% margin of error could give you a big boost with that extra 50 seats. So as it turns out here, It looks like the New Democracy Party walks away with 129 seats, and the Syriza Party, which scored almost a tie in the election, only turns out to have 72 seats. The important thing is that means that whoever wins gets an absolute majority of the seats so that they can pass anything that they want. So they will certainly overturn any opposition moves to stop or to encourage Greece to leave the euro. And in the Arab Spring in Egypt, it's also fading. It looks like the establishment powers in North Africa continue to maintain power despite defeat at the polls, even though the Muslim Brotherhood won the election, with Mohamed Morsi topping the former prime minister under Mubarak to win the election. The military announced just before the vote changes to the constitution by decree that allow them to maintain complete independence from civilian control and have veto power over most pieces of legislation. So once again, the people are up in arms. They feel like this has betrayed, but that's what happens when the establishment comes in to help you overthrow regimes. They never let leave control. Any comment on those issues, Stan?
No, I agree with you totally. I think this, they could not allow Greece to drop out of the European currency. They want a United States of Europe. They've been working at it for a long time. Financial control is as important as political control. And I think whether it was a legitimate vote or not, I don't know. But I do know that the ultimate goal is United States of Europe, and that means they have to have all the nations there. Going to be interesting to see what happens now, because Italy and Spain are having similar problems. But we know what the ultimate goal is. The only question is, how are they going to maintain what they have? Maybe let them drop out of the currency, but remain as part and parcel of the European Union. The ultimate United States of Europe is the goal. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think any of them will ever drop out of the euro as a currency. I think they'll just continue to print what is necessary to keep these things afloat. Remember, they just have to keep it afloat. They don't have to solve the problem. They just keep kicking the can down the road until war comes along, and that's the instant solution for the globalists, because they can walk away and blame everything on the war, and
You're
it will justify
right.
a brand new currency someday. Well, one of the other top stories of this week was Obama blocking Representative Daryl Issa on the Fast and Furious probe in a dramatic move just prior to the committee vote to hold Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt for refusal to produce key documents relating to the Fast and Furious gun-running scandal. Obama declared that he was invoking executive privilege to withhold the documents, effectively shielding Holder from having to produce anything for the probe being conducted by Representative Issa. As CNN noted, an extraordinary House committee hearing began considering a contempt measure against the Attorney General on Wednesday, even though President Barack Obama asserted executive privilege over documents sought by the panel. Committee Chairman Daryl Issa said the House assertion of executive privilege was improper.
Another time, Joel. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. God bless.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
CINN stations in Alt salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Well, Doctor, I'm here. I think it's so important that you understand, out there in the listening audience, that there is a small group of wicked and evil people. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. But behind them are powerful spiritual forces. The ultimate goal is world government. And, of course, they want the United States of Europe, the United States of Africa, of Asia, and then combine them all into a one-world government, under a one-world religion, under a one-world ruler, and the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies. That's what is taking place today. When you understand that, then what's going on in Europe begins to make sense. And they're not going to allow any of these countries to drop out of the European Union. What they're going to do with the currency, Joel may be right. They'll just print more money, and in the process, destroy the value of people's life savings. They're doing the same thing here in America. They have actually come up with trillions of dollars. They've just created it out of nothing. It's sitting in the banks. The corporations are holding it. They're all in on the scam. And when that money is released, they're going to wipe out the value of our currency and impoverish our people. But that's the idea. They want austerity, and you read their publications in foreign affairs magazines, the writings of the people on the inside. They want to lower the living standards of the American people and transfer America's manufacturing and wealth to other countries, flood us with immigrants to drive down our living standards. They know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. What are you going to do about it? Well, we hope you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get our talks on the forbidden secret, on the dark secret. Certainly our talk, it's a film I shot many years ago, my interview with Norman Dodd. It's called Dangerous Deception. You'll see Mr. Dodd talking about the congressional investigation of the great tax-exempt foundations. And what did they find? Why they found that the Rockefeller, Ford, and Carnegie foundations have been funding communism and Marxism throughout the world for years. After all, we have to have an enemy to keep the stupid Americans rallied behind the government that's going to protect us from the wicked communists, the wicked Nazis, who were financed, incidentally, by the same people, are now from the wicked terrorists and from the wicked Ahmadinejad over there in Iran, who is an actor. I mean, he really is. He's playing his part very, very well. But everybody's forgotten. We installed the Ayatollahs back in 1979. We installed Ayatollah Khomeini. And believe me, Ahmadinejad would not be there if he was not playing his part very well. The whole world's a stage. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. If you're in a position to help Radio Liberty and maintain our network of stations, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs, listen to our programs 24 hours a day, read our newsletters, see our section on symbols, the occult and satanic symbols you see every day, but you don't recognize them. And then we have a section on responsibility for vaccinations. It's just below where we have our banners on our homepage. Pull it down. And if anybody wants you or anybody in your family to take a vaccination, just ask them to sign and accept responsibility. Response until Monday at the same time. May the Lord be with you.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation.